expecting God to do something in your life. You know, that's strong, because sometimes we don't expect God to do anything. We just telling God to do everything, but we don't necessarily expect Him to do anything. But can I tell you, God loves you, and He wants to work in your life. And can I say this even? God wants to demonstrate His power. He likes to demonstrate His power, but the atmosphere that He demonstrates His power best is in an atmosphere of faith. Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? So we're in the middle of this series right now called Summer of Purpose, and it's really this ongoing sermon series throughout the summer where we're hitting a lot and talking about purpose. And last week, if you missed it, you probably should go and listen to the podcast. I want to apologize for the audio quality. We had some technical difficulties with some things that recorded the last couple of weeks, and so we were pulling those recording from some other recordings, and so they're on there. They're not as best quality, but we made sure we were able to get them on there. I do want to encourage you to go back and listen to those, because I think it's going to have an impact on your life. But today, I really felt this sensation, this need to talk about the purpose of the church, talk about what the church is all about. And sometimes we have a lot of different ideas, and I want to go straight to the Bible in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. And I really, when I say we're going to talk about the church, I'm saying we're going to talk about us today. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's going to be talking about you. Come on, that's a little scary. I think he's going to be talking about you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. By the way, I got 30 minutes left on my clock if you want to time me. Look at your neighbor and say, good luck. I'm working on it, y'all. I'm working on it. Okay, here we go. Ephesians 3, verse 10 through 21. We did extra stuff, so just saying. Ephesians 3, verse 10, it says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, this verse right here is just packed, because it's talking about God's purpose is to use the church and display his wisdom, but to display it to unseen rulers and authorities in higher places. And if I can just go deep with you real quick, y'all been swimming all summer. Some of you been hanging out on the shallow end. If we could go deep real quick for a moment. There are some spiritual things that are happening in our world that we may not be aware of. Can I hear an amen just from two people? Just two. That's too many. Just two. There are spiritual things that are going on, and he's saying he wants to use the church to display really his power and his wisdom to these spiritual forces. In other words, just let Satan know, as Pastor Paul was mentioning a few minutes ago, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Elbow your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you again. You're not as fired up about that as I am, okay? Verse 11, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, I need you to grab this. When he's talking about the church, he's saying this was his eternal plan. He always had a plan for the church. This is his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I don't have to be scared of God. I reverence him, but I am not scared of him, because he loves me. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. I feel like preaching now. I might need to add 5 minutes to this. Okay. So please don't lose heart, verse 13, because of my trials here, I'm suffering for you. This is Paul, who was in prison, actually writing this letter to the Ephesians church. He says, I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. And when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, watch this, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Empower you with what? Inner strength. Something on the inside of you that cannot be explained through the Holy Spirit. How does she do that? How does she take on all that pressure and still make it through? She's got all the same problems we have, but something about her, something about him, there's something that's carrying them through. There's some inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, amen? Watch this, verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Watch this verse. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Did you hear how it said that? Now God is able, how? Through his mighty power at work through us. Tell your neighbor, I think he's talking about you again. You got to talk today. I'm just letting you know. This is how we're going to work today. All right, we're going to talk. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to talk. Thank you. Two people said that. Y'all not following the directions. Okay, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God can do more than what you're willing to ask for or what you would even think of, okay? And glory to him in the church. That's strong. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, today we need you more than ever. And every day that we live this life out, Father, we're dependent on you and we are trusting in you. And so, Lord, I'm asking you right now for your Holy Spirit, Father, to walk every aisle of this cafeteria building here at this elementary school, and that you would begin to touch every heart, giving them a spiritual confidence, an inner strength on the inside. And I pray, Lord, today, as we speak this message, Father, it will awaken some things in our heart, Father, that need to come alive. So, Holy Spirit, make your church come alive today, that we're not just sitting here listening, but, Father, we're doers of the word. Father, help us, Lord, to be the living expression of everything you ever wanted us to be in our lives, in our community, and in this world, Father. Truly help us be the light of the world. Lord, help me to speak this message in a way today, God, that will change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches us the purpose and the value of the church, the value of being in a spiritual family. Meaning this, that we need more than just God. Now, when I say that, there are people who get a little angry because they feel like it takes away from God if I say that you need more than just God. But if you understand the completeness of who the church is, you would realize that the church is what God's plan was all along. And so when I say that you need a spiritual family, it's just a continuation of me saying you need God. And so to understand the way that God had set this all up, he said even from the beginning, it is not good that man should be alone. It's not good that man should be alone. And so he puts him into a family so that he is not lonely, because together we can do more. Now, sports team has ripped off all of our good stuff from the church, like Philippians 4:13. I know your team is using it, and God bless them for using it, but that's not theirs, that's ours. Amen? That's ours. I mean, I need Jesus to empower my team to score touchdowns to beat yours, but I also need that power for me so I don't go crazy on you. Come on now. Some of you are like, well, my team doesn't even need that to beat your team. We'll see in 2022. Okay, anyway. By the way, it's in the mix. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there. Some of y'all, what is he talking about? Okay. So we live in this world that is supposedly so connected socially. We have all of our social media and all of our devices where we're constantly in communication with everybody. But at the same time, we're so close socially. We're so separated spiritually. You know, like we're using these mediums as an attempt to create real relationship. And I believe it's a tool. I don't believe it's the actual relationship, although we're treating it like that. So socially we're connected, but spiritually we're all over the place. And we live in the world that sometimes feels uprooted from anything that is solid. It's almost like if it's solid, we have to question it. Because if it's solid, then it's probably conservative. Come on, I want to elbow that a little bit today. It's probably something conservative, and I don't identify with that group, and so I want to be progressive. Come on, can I knock on that door a little bit without going political? But can I just mess with you? Because some of you do a better job of identifying with political lines than you do with spiritual lines. Let's go back, because I'm running out of time, okay? I just want to throw that out there, because we can get so worked up in that we forget who we are in Christ. So when you look at the way God set up things, he never meant for us to do life all by ourselves or do it alone. In fact, whenever Jesus comes on the earth, as good as Jesus was, God in the flesh, God on earth, even Jesus didn't do it alone. Like, even Jesus was including some people around him, around himself. And you would say, yeah, but Jesus was setting this whole thing up. But Jesus didn't roll by himself. And there's a lot of people who have formed this belief that I do not need church because I have God. And again, I'll say it, that you can't say I need God without needing the church. Okay? And so I don't mean to correct some thinking, but we have to get this right if we're really going to live out the purpose of God in our generation, because there's a lot of people that want to do something for God, but doesn't have the platform to do it, doesn't have the setup to do it, because they need the power of a spiritual family. We need the power of the church. And there's even people here that you may feel a call of God, and the platform that God is calling you to will require the church as your backing, not just you and your ideas, but the church as your backing. And so we have to understand there is a need for the church. If Jesus needed the church, I need the church too. Amen. I mean, I might have my devotional, my 365 devotional, and I got Jesus, but I need some people in my life that says, hey, you got a little attitude going there, because my devotional doesn't tell me that stuff. We don't buy those. You know what I'm saying? As soon as it does, we quit following that one. Like, I got to find a new one. Chicken soup for the Jesus soul. Make me feel good about being crazy. Don't read those. Come on, get the ones that really challenge you. Get the ones that really really help you become who you could be and who you should be, and not just a better version of who you are. Okay? So Jesus Christ, God himself, walking here in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead, he decides to bring these guys around him, and he decided to do life with others. He decided to include, he decided to connect, he decided to do life within the context of relationship. And this messes with us because we've created so many categories of people in our world and how they are and who they are. And we got introverts and extroverts. And then we got the people who are loners. And then we got the people who are entrepreneurs. And we got the people who are just out of the box and can talk to anybody, can make friends with a tree. And then we got the people who, like, I don't talk to anybody. I mean, we got all these different kinds of people. And what we have done is we've created these categories to justify some things in our life rather than stepping beyond the realms of our comfort zone and becoming really who God wanted us to be and living the life he intended for us. Now, I know if you're introverted, you immediately took offense to that because you're like, hey, dude, you're all extroverted. You talk to everybody. You don't know what it's like to be me. And can I tell you a story? Back in the day, like before I was doing all this, I was an introvert. Hell yeah. I'm scared of people, man. I didn't know if people liked me. True story, I was that guy in middle school. Middle school was terrible. By the way, if you're in middle school, we love you. Praying for you, believing God's best for you. Y'all pray for middle school students. Seriously, man. Not just because they're crazy, but God, man, middle school is hard. I remember in middle school, I would walk with my head down. I didn't like looking around at people. And some of you, you like all confident and popular and stuff. I wasn't like that in middle school. As I was walking with my head down because I was just afraid and embarrassed, and I was in between classes, and I ran into a pole. And people laugh more than you are, so I appreciate your limits on your laughter. But they laughed at me so hard, and that did not help. That made it worse. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. There was a little bit of bullying going on, and I would have fought back. My dad just told me, don't get kicked out of school. And so it wasn't that I couldn't fight, it's that I wouldn't fight. Some of y'all going to get that a little later. I just wouldn't. And then one day, drew the line. And in the bathroom, this dude named Brian messed with me. And me and Brian, everybody else went to class except for me and Brian. And I took care of Brian in the bathroom. I don't know why I'm telling this story, because I needed some friends in my life to help me with this. I didn't have any, and so I had to take care of it. But that day on, I decided I'm not going to be like this anymore. I made a decision, man. I can't do this like this anymore. I made a change. And I had to put myself in a position to come out of my shell. And I'm saying that because somebody needs that today. I think sometimes we buy into these identities and just believe it for ourselves instead of really challenging it so that we could be the fullness of who God wants us to be. Somebody needed that today. I don't know. I mean, I'm using up time because I'm trying to move faster. I got 17 minutes left. Okay. So I want to define church to you today. And I don't mean to give you a lesson on the church, but this is so important. If we're going to be who God wants us to be, we have to know what we're created for and who we really are. Amen. And so when we define church, there's this Greek word, and it's the word ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ecclesia. And this is the assembly and the gathering of believers throughout the earth who have been called out of the world to follow Jesus. This is what the church is. It's the assembly, the gathering of the believers who are basically made a decision that I am going to follow Jesus. This is the biblical big picture definition of the church. And then there are a lot of different expressions that are used to describe the church throughout the Bible. You may have heard some of these. There's the army of God. There's the body of Christ, the family of God, the bride of Christ, the called out ones, the light of the world. The way is how they were described in the New Testament. Today we call them Christians, but really it's followers of Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus, the house of God. We can go on and on with all of these different expressions and ways that it was described in the Bible. But I think there's one verse that really, really brings some perspective to the church that I believe that we need to have. Because when I say some perspective to the church, we can't just look at the church as an organization. We have to look at it as people, because you and I are the church. And sometimes we just look at it as an organization, which makes it a lot easier to criticize. Am I right? It makes it a lot easier to talk about all the problems with the church. But then when you begin to understand I am the church, it makes it a little bit harder to criticize, because then it's like, I'm just trashing myself. Why would I do that? Like, I like me. So this verse is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. And this is really one of my favorite verses throughout the whole Bible. I love the book of Ephesians. And I want to read it to you out of the Message version of the Bible, because I feel like it gives it really, really clear. And this is what it says. It says, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Meaning this, that the church is not on the sidelines. The church is on the main stage. Now, in our world, that's not how it's sold to you, because we see the church as just Sunday. Like, it's what you do on Sunday, but I need you to know the church doesn't sleep. And some of you who have, like, little kids, you're like, amen, I know what you're talking about. The church doesn't sleep. The church is constantly in movement. It's constantly, do you know that today, for 24 hours around the clock, somewhere in this world, there is a church service that is taking place. I mean, they are getting it. I've been down in some of these mission trips, and I, no offense to you, but they worship like they make you look like you're just standing there during worship. These people are just getting it, dancing, praising God, just going for it. Some of you would see them and say, what are they doing? They worshiping the Lord is what they're doing. And I'm talking 24/7, man. These people are just giving their all to God, just really, really worshiping Him. And sometimes we get the picture, because we watch something on TV, that the church is struggling. But I need you to know, the church is not struggling. It is prevailing. It is really prevailing. I've been all over the world. I've seen a lot of churches in some of the craziest villages. And those people, they are standing up for the word. I mean, they are living out what God meant for them to live. They really are. And so don't buy into this whole thought that the church is struggling. The church is thriving. The church is thriving, amen? And so you and I are part of this thriving family of God throughout all the earth. And so it says here, the church is not peripheral to the world. We're not on the sidelines. We're in the game. The world is peripheral to the church. And the church is Christ's body. Watch this. The church is Christ's body, in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. I've heard people say this: I wish we can get the presence of God at my workplace. If we could just get the presence of God at my workplace, it would change everything. And I want to give you some good news. You can get the presence of God at your workplace, because you're there. And the Bible says, don't you know that you yourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the house that God lives in. And so if God has filled you, He's wherever you're going. Come on, somebody. That gives you a whole new perspective of Monday. Because you thought God didn't show up at the office on Monday. He's there. He's going to be there tomorrow. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody going to need Him in here tomorrow. He's with you. The church is Christ's body, in which He speaks and acts, and by which He fills everything with His presence. So watch this. The purpose of the church, and you might want to write this down. The purpose of the church is to help you fulfill the purpose of God throughout the earth. The purpose of the church is to help you fulfill the purpose of God throughout the earth. There's something that God wants to do in our world. Now, we can globalize that or we can localize that. Because in the world that you live in, there's something God wants to do. Let me say it like this. There's something God wants to do in your house. And how is God going to do that? Through you. And some of you are like, I'm just the kid in the family. God can use you to bless your family. God can use you to work in your family. Even if you're 11, come on somebody. Even if you're 17 and your daddy took the keys and told you you wasn't driving this weekend. Even if you're 40 and you're a man, God can still do something in your family. Can I get an amen? Because he's in you, and if he's in you, he's in your family. And listen, maybe you're the only believer in your family today, and you're believing God for the rest of your family to come to Jesus. I want to say this, you're not alone. God is with you. He has filled you with his presence, and he is with you in those arguments that you're having. He's with you in those conversations, in those tense moments where they're telling you you don't need any of that stuff. He is with you in the middle of it all, amen? And you might be struggling today, but hang tight, because there will be a day where they're standing beside you with their hands lifted in the air, and they're worshiping. Worshiping God, singing, I believe you've done it before and you will do it again. Come on, that's good stuff. That's why I say the church isn't on the sidelines. We're in the game. And if we see ourselves as on the sideline, see, there's sideline behavior and then there's on the field behavior. When you're on the sideline, you're thinking you're never going to get your chance. It's never going to happen for me. But when you're on the field, all you're thinking is, we're going to win. See, there's a difference. And so it's important for us to understand the perspective of the church, because if we just see ourselves standing on the sideline, we'll always think we're never going to get to and God forgot about me. But if we're understanding we're in the game, we're praying different. God, I need you because I need to take down this giant that's a lot bigger than me. But I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's get it on, big boy. You see what I'm saying? There's some inspiration. There's something that comes with you. And this is why it's so important that we're talking about this. Some of you, this message is going to help you with struggles that we ain't even talking about today. Seriously, because you're going to understand, wait a minute, I'm part of something that is a lot stronger than what I gave it credit for. I'm part of a winning team. I've been looking at myself in the mirror thinking I was a loser, and all along, I'm a winner. It's a change of perspective. It's understand, wait a minute, God's got purpose for his church. I am the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. Come on, somebody's getting fired up in here today. I'm just trying to teach. Just trying to teach you a little bit about the church today. That's all I'm trying to do. So watch this. It's a blessing to belong to God's family. It's a blessing to belong to God. It's a blessing to be a part of the church. Look at your neighbor and say, you're lucky to be here. Tell him you're lucky to be here. It's a blessing to be here. Some of you are like, I almost didn't make it today. I'm glad you're here. We're blessed that you're here. We're blessed. I'm glad you're here. So watch this. I made some decisions through my life. And three of the most important ones was, number one, when I gave my life to Jesus. That's like the most important decision you will ever make. I think the next most important decision you're going to make is who you marry, who you decide to spend the rest of your life with. That's a big time decision. So when I decided I was going to marry Cynthia, that's like a big time decision. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's important. And it's going really, really good for me. And so, but there was another decision that I believe that was just as important as those. It was the day that I decided that I'm going to plant myself in the church. That no matter what, I'm going to stay connected and planted in the church. No matter what happens, even if I get offended, I'm staying. Like, it's that kind of decision that no matter what, I am staying in church. Like, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is what our family does. So, like, if you're going to marry me, this is how we roll. Like, that's the kind of decision it was. This is who we are because we're part of something that's greater, that is powerful. And I need that powerful stuff because I ain't that good. Just not that good. Like, I like to give the impression that I got it all together, but if it ain't for Jesus and it ain't for the church, I don't have it all together, y'all. Like, that's reality. And some of you are like, if it ain't for your wife, you don't have it all together. And that's another conversation for another day. So I believe that life is different. In fact, it's radically different when you understand the purpose of the church and just plant yourself in it. is different whenever you just make that decision. And so maybe today you're here and maybe you're new to the church scene. Maybe you're just kind of kicking the tires and checking out to see what this whole church thing is all about because you're unsure, but you got a feeling you should be a part of this, and that feeling is right. I think we should go ahead and make that commitment. Look, I need to make this once and for all statement in my life that we are going to be the church. We're going to go to the church, and we're going to be the church. We're going to participate in it. We're not just going to watch it, but we are going to be the church, because whenever I step into being the church, I'm stepping into who God wants me to be. Amen? So I want to encourage you today that there are benefits. There's blessings from belonging to the church, and there's results, and there's opportunities that when you see the church, when you understand what it is and truly plant yourself in it. So today what I want to give you is just five reasons that we need the church. Five reasons, and I believe that this is going to help you understand the full scope of church and what it's all about. Now, I know you're hearing this message today, and there's a part of you that's getting inspiring, but it's almost like you're waiting for something. You know what I'm saying? And it's not, I'm not trying to hide anything to you. I'm just going to give it to you very straight. But this is where you realize this is who we are. And we have a hard time in our world accepting who we are because we feel so much pressure to be somebody else. And it happens everywhere. It happens in families. In fact, there are husbands and wives struggling, and it's not because of what's going on in their house. It's because they're looking at somebody else's house and trying to be that. And there's a wife that wants her husband to be like that guy, and there's a husband that wants his wife to be like that lady. And they want their kids to act like those kids. And the problem is because we're trying to be somebody else instead of being who God wants us to be. And so we got people who are trying to transform and turn and imitate other people rather than being the best versions of themselves. Come on, that's good. That's like marriage counseling, family counseling 101 right there, okay? So I think it's important that as we talk about this, that you truly find yourself in it, because it's going to really help you in so many areas of your life. So watch this. One of the reasons that we need to be planted in a local church, number one, is because it gives us a place to belong. Gives us a place to belong. Now, I'm going to see by show of hands, how many of you got crazy family somewhere down the line? Maybe not here. And if they are here and you raise your hand, I think you're comfortable with yourself and your family. But how many, let me see your hands if you got some crazy somewhere down the line. How many of you, that person is here with you today? Thank you. My son's raising his hand. I wonder who he's talking about. I think he's talking about his brother. Maybe his dad. I was raising my hand too. I've met so many families, and everybody's got crazy in their family. You ever laughed at the crazy in your family before, though? Not like with the disbelief laugh. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all laughing at it right now. You just thought of something right there. You're like, oh, my God. Everybody's got the uncle in their family, and if you are the uncle, you don't even know it. I might be the uncle in my family. I don't know. I'm going to ask. We got a little family gathering coming up. I'm going to ask them, am I the uncle? And they'll be like, yeah. See, you start talking about crazy family, people start coming out the halls and stuff. See you, Will. Good to see you. Okay. Even in the crazy families, there's still something there. There is. I honestly, because I've had crazy in my family, there's still something there. Some kind of connection that we all have, that it's like we can call each other crazy, but the moment somebody else starts talking about us being crazy, we're not a violent family, but like, we will fight you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all from other areas, not so local. And you just waiting for your moment to throw down with somebody. And as soon as somebody talks about that crazy uncle that everybody else in your family talks about, somebody outside the family, you're like, let's go. Because you ain't going to talk about it. And you just said all kinds of stuff about him. Because there's something about family where there is just a sense of belonging. And I think it's the same thing in the church, because can I tell you, there's a lot of different people in the church. And we come from a lot of backgrounds, a lot of opinions in here. Can I get an amen? And you don't just have one, you got some. And so when you bring all the sum of all those opinions together, it's amazing that we can even meet every Sunday, to be honest with you. I mean, seriously, because I've heard some of those opinions from y'all, and I'm just like baffled. But thank God you're here. We would all agree you need it. Okay, anyway. But there's something about, as crazy as a family can be, that there's something about belonging to it. Like, there's just something about, this is my family, and yeah, we're crazy, but we will beat yours at anything that you want to compete in. Am I right? Come on, some of y'all got a little trash talk in you. You're afraid to use it. Use it. Intimidate your enemies. That didn't work as good as I thought it was. Okay. I believe that there are people who are searching for acceptance, and they're looking for a lot more than just a last name. They're looking for a lot more than just a group that we're going to sit down with on Thanksgiving Day and have turkey. They're looking for something with some meaning, with some significance behind it to belong to. And I believe that's what the church is. It's a spiritual family that God is calling us from all of our different backgrounds and all of our different crazy and all of our different sins. Come on, somebody. And he's saying, hey, I have an incredible life that I have mapped out for you. And that person that is so different than you, I have an incredible plan mapped out for their life too. And I can bring all these different people together. And together, they can accomplish some pretty incredible things on this earth that will make people look at them and say, how do they do that? Come on. It's pretty impressive when you understand the power of God, that he's able to bring so many different people from so many different ideas of life and just all this stuff and bring it all together and make them walk together in unity. It's very impressive. And to know that God is inviting you with all of your background, baggage, history, all of that stuff. And God says, I want you in my family. I want you in my family. I know they said that about you, but I'll take you. I know you were the last one picked, but I'll pick you. Are you grabbing this today? Because God wants you in his family. And so it's this understanding that church is gives us a place to belong. But here's the next thing, though. Because sometimes we're just happy that people want us. But God's not finished. God's not finished just because you got this relationship with him. He's just begun. Because the second thing is this. When we're part of a church, it helps to build our beliefs. It helps us to understand who God is and what he is capable of doing in our lives and in our world. And helps us to understand that there are some foundational things that if I build my life on this, it's going to stand through every test. And so where are we going to learn this from? We can't just read every book that comes out, because this book might contradict that book. And that guy just got an opinion, but yet he found a publisher that liked what he said. So he published it and they put it all out there. But that guy doesn't really even believe that. He just knew it would sell. There are people who do that, and those books are even in Christian bookstores. Seriously. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that's why it's so important to belong to a church family, so that we can have some beliefs that are consistent, that are staying on track, that are Bible-based and not just a bunch of opinion, but they are strictly what it says in the Bible, and let's just go in that direction, amen? And where are we going to get that from? That's what the church does for us. It gives us a family to belong to, but it also helps us to develop some beliefs. And watch this. It's not just foundational beliefs, but it's when I'm walking through something that's bigger than me. And how I face it, the attitude of faith with which I have, because sometimes it's, oh, God bless you. I don't know if you're going to make it through. I need more than that when I'm walking through hell. Amen. When the bad news comes, I need somebody that's going to stand with me and say, hey, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I know you might be a little heavy right now, but I'll carry you. I'll help you get through this mess. Come on. This is what church is all about. And I'm saying that because sometimes we've got to do a little evaluation. Because it's easier for us to say, well, that's what they need to start doing. But this is where we turn around and say, wait a minute, that's what I need to start doing. Come on, somebody. This is where we really understand the scope of what's possible with the church. It gives us a place to belong. It builds our belief. The third thing is this. It teaches us how to behave. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, snap. Teaches us how to behave. I know of no other organization that will challenge a man in his pride than the church. Seriously. I know of no other organization that will challenge that. But the church will let a man know that pride comes before destruction. Instead of beating your chest, thinking you can do this on your own, submit yourself to God, and he will sustain you. See what I'm saying? Like, where else are we going to get this from? Where else are we going to come to a place where we're thrown down in our marriages, and yet there's going to be some truth spoken to us that changes the tone of our home? Because I've seen marriage counseling, and there are some great ones out there, but there is also some of them that are just sitting there letting you say everything you want to say, and they're just watching the timer. Come on, somebody. This stuff happens in our world, unfortunately. But you and I, we have to understand, wait a minute. God has positioned me. He's put me in a place that's going to teach me some things about how to behave, how to be a good man, how to be a good father, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. Come on, how to be a good mother, how to be a good kid. You see, y'all love it when we talk to the kids about being good kids. Preach that thing, preacher. Amen. Bless God. We're going to get the CD and the tape. We don't even do tapes anymore, but you're going to get one because somebody needs that. It's a podcast. They can download it. You know what I'm saying? Because I think inside of us, watch this, I think inside of us, we all know that we could be better. Amen? We all know we could be better. Look at your neighbor and say, I can be better. I could be better. Look at him again and say, I'm going to get better because I'm going to go to church. Teaches us how to behave. The fourth thing is this. It challenges us to become intentional. Challenges us to become intentional. You might be saying, what does that mean? So there's a camp of people that says that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I want to say, that's right. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. But I do believe you need to go to church if you plan on staying a Christian. And I do believe you need to go to church and be a part of a church if you plan on fulfilling everything that God has for you in your life. Because what if God has called you to plant a church and you're not planted in a church anywhere? Like, that's almost like conflicting. But what if, how are you going to be able to get the support that you need to do that someday down the road? Well, God will provide. I got a news flash for you. God provides through people that are his church. I'm just saying, that's just back to Ephesians 1:23. He does it how? Through the church. Through the church. Through people just like you. And this is the thing that we've got to understand, because at some point we've got to start accepting, I am the church. I don't just go to a church and listen to them preach and they have church, but I am the church. And God works through the church, which means God will work through me. That means God may tell me to do something that's out of my comfort zone. He may tell me to do that. And this is where people shy away. But at the end of the day, what they really want is, God, I want to do something great for you. And so as soon as God gives you the opportunity to do something great, it's like, whoa, I don't know if I can do that. And God's like, you've been saying I want to do something great. I'm just setting you up for it. So watch this. The church, it helps us to become intentional. Meaning this, there is a mission that we are on. The church is on a mission, and the mission that we are on is to get as many people following Jesus throughout our world as possible. That is the mission of the church on this earth. Jesus came with the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world, making disciples of all men, which are followers of Jesus. And he's saying, listen, I'm commissioning you to go get more followers, to get more people to head in this direction that you are going and following Jesus, because when you follow Jesus, he will change your life. And we have to be intentional, realizing that, wait a minute, I don't just work with these people and live by these people because they're nice people and our kids play well together, but I live by these people because God wants them to follow Jesus. And so maybe that's why we live in this neighborhood. Maybe that's why out of all the houses out there, we picked that one. Come on, this brings a lot more purpose to it. How did my kid get onto that team? I can't understand. I mean, why this team? And next thing you know, you're sitting with them at the ballpark and you start realizing really quickly, this is why. Because God wants to reach this family. God wants to save this dude. God wants to reach that lady that's in the cubicle next to me. God is very purposeful. And so being a part of the church, what does it do? It helps me to become a lot more intentional. And one of the things that Jesus told us to do was, watch this. He said to be fruitful. He said, I chose you and I appointed you for what? To bear fruit. In other words, to produce. And what are we producing? We're producing followers of Jesus. Some of us, we're doing it naturally. We're having children and we're teaching them about the ways of God so they will follow Jesus. But guess what? You're bigger than just that kid that you have in your family. There are people that you work with that you can influence to follow Jesus. So what if we looked at our jobs and looked at these opportunities in life as a very intentional move of God to reach somebody? What if? then maybe we would go from just praying that somebody would come and tell them about Jesus. We would actually say, Jesus, use me to reach them. Come on, somebody. But you see, we back away from that because we don't know if we can do it. And I want you to know you can do it. I want you to know that today, church. You can do it. You can reach somebody for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? You can do it. You can do it. So watch this. The church isn't a bubble of believers that we're hunkering down to protect ourselves from this dark world. But we are the light of the world. Come on, I need better help preaching this today because I feel like you are convinced that we're just a bubble trying to hunker down to protect our little ones so that they don't get bit by the boogeyman. Come on, we're not on defense. We're on offense. We have the ball. See, I know football season ain't here yet, so you hadn't got your game on yet, but I want to spark it a little bit. We're on offense, and God has put you in this world to go and make a difference. Come on, to go and lead people to follow Jesus so that these other folks can live out God's plans for their lives too. And so we're not just trying to keep it and hold it all down. Wait a minute. As we're struggling, we say it like this at Emerge. We're growing as we're going, baby. We may not have it all together, but we're still going to influence people for Jesus. And by the way, if you think that your pastor and his family's got it all together, I don't know what TV show you've been watching, but we're still working on some things. Amen, family? Amen. Not y'all, I was talking to them. It's a bunch of people, the church is a bunch of people who believe that God loves people and wants to save them. That's who we are. We're not just trying to protect ourselves. We got something in us that's greater than the world that's around us. Amen? Come on, I got an influence in me that drives me that's greater than all this craziness around me. And so I can walk in the dark and I don't turn dark because I got a light inside of me that doesn't stop shining. See, that's why Jesus refers to the church as the light of the world. The gates of hell will not be. In other words, you're not going to put out the light of the church. See, I don't believe Satan puts out the light of the church. I believe we put out the light. We put out the light whenever we hide ourselves. So here's the last thing about the church and what we're all about. Being a part of a church enables us to live a bigger life. Because together we accomplish a lot more than what we do when we're by ourselves. We can do a lot more together. See, by yourself you can only do so much. But when you put a group of people together with a godly vision, look out. Look out. I think back to a couple Saturdays ago for our serve day. Usually we would pull off one project at a time when we do a serve day, just one. A bunch of people came together. We pulled off four. Like we multiplied our efforts through more people coming together. And it has so much impact throughout the community because people are still trying to figure out why are y'all doing this. And it's not an advertising campaign. It's just, this is who we are. This is what the church does. This is who we are. And we just want to do this because at the end of the day, we want to see more people follow Jesus and live out God's plans for their lives. So what I'm saying is this, is that God can use you, even though you might feel small and insignificant, God can use you to do big things when you come together with a group of people like the church. Because truly together we do a lot more. And there's more to come. And so whenever you hear someone who has given you the opportunity to serve on the dream team, the goal is so that we can affect more people's lives. Starting first and foremost with yours. See, that's the part that we miss. We just see it as task. But there's a lot of people that see it as purpose. So like serving is purposeful. Because I know that whenever I'm serving, it's setting up miracles. Come on, somebody. I mean, we want to see miracles, set one up. You want to see God save a mama? Serving kids so that she can pay attention during church. And when she's in church not having to worry about her kids, she hears this gospel that is being preached. And she doesn't have any distractions keeping her from taking that step. Are you grabbing that? like this is bigger picture. It's not just, okay, we got to serve. No, no, no. I get to serve because there's something that God wants to do in somebody's life today. And at the end of the day, when we know that people gave their lives to Jesus and more people are following Jesus, we're all able to stand up and applaud because it took us all. Are you hearing what I said? It took us all. It wasn't just the preacher that held the mic that made a difference, because honestly, if someone didn't plug, I know it's wireless, but there's a wire over there that connects this thing. If someone didn't plug it in, but because someone served, there's some power. There's some power that amplifies the message. Come on, this ain't even in the notes. This is after the timer went off. Come on, this is like the after sermon. When someone is serving their purpose as the church, it amplifies the message of the church and has impact on more and more people. And so when we start talking about serving, don't start backtracking. Start jumping in, because you know, looks like we about to reach a bunch of people, y'all. Looks like a lot of people are about to begin following Jesus. And that's what we're here for. I'm coming out of my bubble. Somebody pop my bubble today. Come on. Let's finish. You ever saw that channel, Animal Planet? And they do these documentaries on these different animals. And they like to show the ones that stray away from the pack. And you know what's coming, because there's always the predator. There's always like a lion that's running around out there. And that little animal has no clue. It's just doing its thing. Mr. Independent. But he doesn't realize that there is a predator that's out there that's watching his moves. Sometimes we turn God into the predator, by the way. We think that's what God is doing, just watching your move, waiting for you to mess up so he can pounce on you. And that's not what God does. God's the one who left the other 99 to come and find you. But when you're watching this stuff on Animal Planet, there's that one that gets away from the pack that's always by itself, and he doesn't even know how vulnerable he is. Because there may be plenty of water to drink, there may be a great food supply, and he may feel like he has everything that he needs, but he doesn't realize that there is danger lurking beyond what he can see. And sometimes we're blinded by our success. Sometimes we're blinded by good things in our lives. And we miss on some things that we really, really need. Some things that are just like no-brainers, like don't stray away from the pack in the wild. That's a no-brainer, but it still can happen. And you know the story, how it happens. He strays away, and that lion is in the distance just watching, circling, getting closer and closer. And without him even knowing, he comes from nowhere and attacks. He attacks. And there's a lot of people who are under attack. And you're so thinking about the attacker that you forgot about the group that you should have been running with. Even the police call for backup. Because you got to have some people that are watching your back. See, this isn't a commercial for the church. This isn't a commercial for e-groups or any of that stuff. Although all that stuff is set up to help with that. This is the understanding of who we are as the church. And how smart and brilliant God was in his plans. And how he laid it out in the course of relationships to cover, to protect, to keep us on track. So that we continue to be everything that he planned for us to be. And can I say that there is an enemy out there? We read it earlier. That the church was God's way of displaying his wisdom to the unseen rulers, to the spirit realm. I know that's deep, but follow me. There's an enemy that wants to bring you down. There's an enemy that wants to bring you down. Can we first and foremost be smart? Before we start pulling out all our guns, can we be smart and make sure that we're running with the group of people that God called us to run with? Amen. Come on, that's just being smart. Stay with the team. You could be a superstar all day and win by yourself and no one celebrate. But when we win as a team, we all celebrate. And I believe there's a lot of people that can go further You may not think that you're going to be a big time, but I tell you this, you can go further when you're a part of the church. You'll last a lot longer than you ever thought you would. And again, I go back to those three decisions. The day I gave my life to Jesus, the day I made the decision to marry her, to spend the rest of my life with her, and the day I decided I'm going to be in church no matter what. It has made every single difference in my life. And today, this is what I want you to consider. All the things that God has for you, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? I know you got great people. You can have a support system around you, but you got to have a source. And God is our source, and this was God's plan. And I want to challenge you today. And seriously, maybe you have some differing opinions about this, but I want to challenge you today to consider making it a value of your home, the value of your life, a conviction. We belong to the church, and we're going to be a part of it. We're going to serve. We're going to give. We're going to live our lives the way God intended for us in his house, because together we're better than what we are by ourselves. Amen. I have a part to play in God's house. Each one of us, we have a part to play. And when we begin to fulfill those roles, I want you to know the church is absolutely incredible. The church is amazing. And let me tell you why. Because people like you are amazing. Because we are the church. So whenever we say things like our church is incredible, it's not just the name Emerge Church. It's specific names of people that should come to mind. And it's the people who are serving it to make it great. The people who are giving to make it great. Because that's who Emerge Church is. It's not just a thought, it's people. Amen? It's not just a group, it's us. Come on, like this is where you want to look at your neighbor and say, this is my church. This is my people. This is where I belong. This is the family of God that I belong to. And when you begin to take ownership of that, it changes your perspective of things around you. And you better bet this, the enemy is going to mess with that and try to tell you those people don't really love you. God can't use you there. You're just there, another number in the seats. You're just there to go help them. They don't really care about you. That's how the enemy works. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to entice you to get you all by yourself. What is he trying to do? He's trying to keep you from living out all that God has for you. Come on, can we be smart as believers? Come on, can we just not just be emotional about our worship, but be smart and intentional about our lives and realize, wait a minute, this is what God's doing in the world. I'm going to stand firm on the foundation, the rock on which Christ Jesus is building his church, because he's building me as he does, and he's going to use me to build others. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Some of y'all like, you see, I told you couldn't do it. It's okay. Father, today, thank you that you were so brilliant in designing this plan that you had for us by building this church, by building the church, by calling your believers together to accomplish some great things. And Father, I know there's a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, even church backgrounds, that may have never seen it this way before. But Father, at the end of the day, this is what we want to do. We want to follow you. We want to live our lives for you. We want to live out the plans that you have for us in our lives. And we understand that the vehicle that you chose to do this through is through the church. And so Lord, today I'm praying that you would help us all to understand this and to believe this and follow this. Because there are great things that you want to do in our homes because of your church. There are great things you want to do in our communities. There are great things you want to do right here in the city through your church. And Father, we say today, we are your church. We are your people. We are your followers, and we want to commit ourselves to you. And so, Father, I'm praying today that this won't just land on deaf ears, but I pray, God, this becomes a conviction of our heart and that we will truly, truly live this out. In Jesus' name, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, never want to leave a service without this opportunity right here. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer. Maybe you're away from God and today you're sitting here and you know you got to come close to Jesus. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've never heard of him before, but you know today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of change. I just want to lead you in a prayer. I want to ask everyone to repeat this. Say, dear Lord, thank you for loving me, for wanting me, for giving your life for me, and paying for everything I've ever done wrong, for taking my punishment so that I can be forgiven and I can be free. Lord, today I understand I have to change, but I can't change myself, but I know you can change me. So I make a decision to follow you, to follow your ways. I need you to lead me. So I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. And I ask you to change me from the inside out. I surrender all to you. I'm all yours. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give a hand? Someone pray that prayer today, probably for the first time.